Wake up! It's time for a pro-American jihad! This is Uncle Dave saying, welcome to the right-wing redneck Radio Rag. Yes, my fellow citizens and the legal residents, our great nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and the rights, responsibilities, and restrictions granted to and placed on individuals and all levels of government are spelled out in our Constitution. These are the reasons the United States of America rose to become the greatest nation in the history of the world, regardless of what our defamer-in-chief says. They are the only means by which America can regain and retain its greatness, and they are under serious attack from dastardly enemies, both foreign and domestic. The good old boys and girls here at Right Wing Redneck Radio are dedicated to the defense of those principles and our Constitution. Political correctness is like trying to pick up a turd by the clean end, and I won't do either. So if you're overly sensitive, better change the station right now. Fair and balanced? No, not on this show. The nefarious mainstream news media constantly pimps the left-wing loonies, promotes everything that is anti-American or that flies in the face of morality, and tries to destroy all that is righteous or constitutional. You'll hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on this show, humor notwithstanding. But I frankly don't give a damn what the moronic opposition thinks. If you're a left-wing ideologue, you're still welcome to call in if you can stand a good verbal spanking, but you'll not be spewing your moldering, ranted crap on this show. All right, let's get the program started, but let's set the mood first. On the count of three, give me a nice, loud jihad. Are you ready? One, two, three, jihad!
This is your old Uncle Dave here, and joining me we have Brother Jim and Sister Peggy on the line. And for the next hour, we're going to try to have a little fun, get a few points across, and maybe do something good for the country and the civilized world in general. So how are y'all today? Let's see. How about you, Peggy? I'll be chivalrous on like our defamer-in-chief up there. Ladies first. How you doing, Peggy?
I'm doing great out here in Arizona, David.
Ah, lovely area. Is it warm out there?
It's probably 70 something, and it looks like we might get a little rain.
Uh-huh. Well, here in Florida, we have been having some marvelous weather. However, last night we had freeze warnings, and it has been brisk all day long today, and it's supposed to get down close to freezing again tonight. But anyway, we can't complain. Nobody will listen to us. So how about you, Jim? How things where you are?
I can complain. I can bitch like a stone gun.
Yeah, go for it.
It's been colder than hell over here down here in Georgia. I mean, we're not here for a weather report, but I'm going to give you one. It didn't get up above, I think, 34 yesterday. About the same today. It sucks. Creeks are frozen. My dogs don't know what to do.
Yeah, we get spoiled.
Yeah.
I remember the winters in St. Louis. I have on occasion in St. Louis seen two dogs stuck to the same fire hydrant. Now, that's cold, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Jim, you got to plug into the global warming, dear.
Ah, yes, good old Al Gore.
I know. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because it's a belief system. I don't believe in it, so therefore it's not happening. So maybe I ought to start believing in it, and 32 will all of a sudden become 64.
Creeks did not freeze.
What, baby?
Creeks did not freeze.
Well, hey, it sounds good on the radio. My wife says creeks didn't. Yeah, there was ice on the creeks.
Oh, you saw it.
Did you just go ask the puppy dogs?
No, they were not.
There was ice on the creek.
They was not.
There was.
No, they were.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not quite sure what happened to the puppy dogs. I like
David,
puppy dogs.
Can I point something
but,
out?
Well, I'll tell you something else I like. I like to hear the phone ring.
Hello, baby.
Yeah, baby. This is your Uncle Dave. I'm talking at you, and you know what I like. Yeah. That's right. I'd like for you to pick up that phone and give me a call. Right now. Oh, what's that you say, baby? What's my phone number? Oh, my phone number is 347-857-1380. 347-857-1380. 347-857-1380. Call me now because, ow, baby, that's the one I'd like.
Yeah, I guess we would be remiss in not mentioning six-time Grammy Award winner Miss Whitney Houston, also an actress. The gal could sing. Wow, did she have a voice. But for any of our listeners out there who vacillate into some bad habits. Now, I will say this. If you drink, well, now would be a good time. I'm having a cold one. I hope you are, too. But the drug things, they can be pretty bad. And they are, they're a lot worse than they were 20, 30 years ago. There's some stuff out there now that's just really, really bad. And I don't know. They said she was having drug problems. I don't know if that had something to do with her death or not. I do know she was a marvelous singer and started off in church and probably should have spent more time there than with Bobby Brown. And her mother, Sissy, was also a gospel singer. And something I found out today that I didn't know, she had a rather famous cousin named Dionne Warwick. So, and Aretha Franklin was her godmother.
Yes, indeed.
So she had, yeah. But the chick could sing, and she was pretty. 48 years old, and we lost her. So I would encourage everybody else to guide the steps of your life to a point where that won't happen to you at too early an age. I mean, I'm older than the hills, and I'm still not ready to go. So for me, a couple of cold beers, that does it. Now, don't mess with those other drugs and stuff. But so what do y'all think about what's been going on politically this week, the war against the Catholic Church, et cetera?
Well, let me start off real quick, David, about Whitney Houston. I didn't follow her, but I mean, she was eight-time Grammy Award winner. And this is what happens when drugs and letting yourself be led astray into a lifestyle like that. She was marvelous. She had a voice. She was a gift. And
yes, sir.
And she truly was. And then last, 10 years of her life or so, she, you know, just went downhill. And I was reading today where, you know, she was supposed to appear at the Grammy Awards tonight. And
mm-hmm.
during rehearsals and stuff, she would show up, and she couldn't hit the notes right, and she was trying to help some other people, coaching them, but she had the smell of liquor and cigarettes on her breath. Well, there's, you know, we've probably all been guilty of that, especially right now. Or you've got a cold one, I just popped the top. So
certainly
that, there's a difference between sitting back and relaxing and it taking control of your life. So all I got to say is, you know, she's with the Lord. She'll answer for her life. And on a side note, a young man that used to work for me, he's got 3 kids. And his 10-year-old daughter passed away last night. She had the flu. And just,
oh, my God.
Yeah, that was my reaction, and just passed away. So I just want to say, I don't think anybody probably out here really knows Travis Carroll and his family, but he was a young man that worked for us for about a little over two years, and we knew his children, and it was a shock. But, you know, the Lord's going to take you home when he's going to take you home.
That's true. And you know, you mentioned cigarettes. I learned to inhale when I was 12 and was a fairly heavy smoker. I'd work at nightclubs and things. And if you weren't, you were. But a cigarette was always my prop on stage anyway because, you know, if you had a heckler, if you thought of a comeback a minute later, it was no good. It had to be right now. But if you had a cigarette in your hand, you could take a hit on your cigarette, give him a little sideways look, and you had about 2.5 seconds to think of what you were going to say. So... that's true. That was my prop. But I was a heavy smoker, and my 5th year anniversary without a cigarette was February the 7th of this year. So I've been without a cigarette for 5 years and 4 days. Now, I did go from 210 up to 250 pounds, however, so it's not all a blessing. But I'm 5 years without a cigarette, and people who knew me then know me now say that they can tell the difference in my voice on the phone or anything else, that I'm not raspy or whatever. So it can be done. But I was a heavy smoker for in excess of 50 years and quit. And so it can be done. I encourage anybody out there who's kicking it around, kick it a little harder. I used to joke. I'd say, hell, quitting's easy. I've done it several times. But this last time, it seems to work. I'll tell you, I still want one sometimes. You mentioned cigarettes on our bread, and I thought, but I like a wise man once said, if you get hit by a train, it's not the caboose that kills you. So it's that first one, because then there's a second and a third, and, you know, so we encourage everybody to stay healthy. Not necessarily the way Bimbo Bama wants you to do it. I don't know. She's too much for me. Control your food, control everything you do. But and this thing with the church, everybody said, oh, well, Obama caved in. He did not. He no more caved in than anything. I think he knew when he started this what he was going to do. So I think the man is a serpent. I think he is evil incarnate, and I think he has a plan, and that he doesn't do crap without it being pre-planned. I think he did this to drive a wedge between the Catholic parishioners and the Catholic hierarchy and try to suck in all the Catholic votes he could get by saying, see, I'm with you guys. I'm not with those guys with the funny hats. I'm one of you. I think he knew exactly what he was going to do. But he didn't cave in. He just said, okay. Instead of making the Catholic Church pay for it, I will make the insurance companies pay for it. He didn't have the right to do that either. What he's doing flies in the face of the Constitution. And how about this? How about the Catholic entities, hospitals, whatever they are, that self-insure? And he says, the insurance, well, they are the insurance company in that case. So he's still going to force them to do it. And even when he's not doing it, he's making the insurance companies pay for it. But who's paying the insurance companies? The employer of the insured, i.e. the Catholic Church. So in a roundabout way, they are still doing it. I think this was his way of driving a wedge between Catholic parishioners and the Catholic hierarchy, and that he believes in his handlers, and I think that's the right word, believe that this is a way of getting more, not less, votes, and certainly getting lots of attention. But when he can shake his finger at the Catholic Church and say, shame, shame, you don't care about women. No, they do. But that's my opinion. What do y'all think? And Peggy, what do you think?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've been wondering what he was up to, but that sure makes a lot of sense because there are liberal people in the church. So I guess he figures that he's going to be, there'll be the ones that he will put the wedge with the hierarchy.
Well, David, you made the comment that, you know, he was trying to drive a wedge between the parishioners and the hierarchy. That didn't work.
Couple of minute thing here, where I was actually able to talk to some of these people and get an insight on how they think. Reid and Pelosi galore and Joe Bitesit and just a few. A little brief interview. See what y'all think of what they said.
You know, boys and girls, as any rational person can plainly see, destroying the moral fiber of our country is vital to Barack Hussein Obama and his demonic minions from hell, their quest to fundamentally change our great country into a socialist welfare state of depraved amoral sheeple. And the Democrats in Congress are doing their part to help. Why, just the other day, Harry Reid said to Nancy Pelosi,
why don't we get drunk and water that is filled up for me and you.
Joe Biden had a few suggestions on birth control. What are they, Joe? Well, that's interesting, Joe. Do you have any other ideas? And there's Kathleen Sebelius. Sit, Kathleen. Besides birth control and abortion, do you feel there's anything else there's just got to be?
There's got to be a morning after.
Oh, I get it. You mean the morning after pill. There's Bull Rock the Thuggery Bullshit. Let's ask him a couple of questions. Hey, who's saying? What made you go to war against the Catholic Church?
My Muslim faith.
Your what?
My Muslim faith.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
All what Christian soldiers march in now to war.
Oh,
bear
yeah.
The cross of Jesus.
Hell yeah, Jackson there, whining it
yeah.
Down there. I don't know, that sounded fine when I played it back earlier. It seemed to be a little difficulty in the recording just then. I don't know what happened, but I apologize for that. It played fine a few minutes ago. But, you know, these people are amoral. They are. And one of the first things that anybody in their position, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of the great ones and probably the idols of some of these people, like, oh, Adolf Hitler, things like that. Mao Zedong, you know, you pick out your own. One of the first things that they wanted to do was destroy the moral fiber of the citizenry, destroy the patriarchal family, tell them you don't need husbands, you don't need fathers, you don't need to hang out, you can just leave, and women, the more little, I'm trying to avoid saying bastards, but the more little darlings that you pop out, you know, the more money we'll pay you, So destroying our moral fibers are the first and most important things that they want to do. And then when you have a nation of amoral, alcoholic leeches, whatever you want to call them, then it's easier to just kind of funnel them down the road where you want them to go. And
stop talking about the Democrats
so I think
like
that. Was kind of part of his plan. And, oh, I see we have, I believe, is that my friend Mike on the line there?
You bet.
Hey,
I heard
Mike,
you talking about these Democrats.
Oh yeah, you're mispronouncing it. You got a speech impediment. That's Democrats.
Okay.
It's demon rats. Come on, demon rats. How many? Have you guys not gone to great schools? Demon rats.
For those of who don't know, Mike, he is the head of the Central Florida Act for America chapter, and is a as hardworking a gentleman as I've ever run across, a very devout man. And for any Floridians who might be listening in, Mike, I think we've got a meeting coming up pretty soon, don't we?
Absolutely. We have a meeting coming up on the 20th of the month. We have a fabulous speaker. His name is Emo Amani. He's world famous, and he is going to speak to us via Skype because it's so expensive to fly him in and have him speak in person, but he has a wonderful topic. He's going to speak on Sharia law. It starts at 7 o'clock at the third floor of Legends. From 6:30 to 7, we have videos that we want to show on Islam, and then we have our meeting, and then after the meeting, we all go downstairs to the restaurant. Those of us that want to, we socialize and have a great time together. So it's going to be a great evening on the 20th. Very excited about it.
Wow.
Yes. It always is. Peggy and Jim,
if it wasn't for Dave and others helping me out, I couldn't do it. And I thank you very much, David.
Oh, believe me, what I contribute is minuscule compared to the labors you put in. But anyway, we all do what we can. One of the main focuses, of course, is trying to alert our citizenry to the ever-present danger of Islam. And, you know, if you're not aware of it, let me put it to you this way. You can think about this in terms of Islam, although I learned it as a pirate joke or a pirate story. But, you know, Islam has this philosophy called taqiyya, which means, literally means, when you are weak, be nice. Smile, be friendly. Smile again, be humble. But when you're strong, be cruel, be mean, be evil. Convert, enslave, or kill the infidel. And so as they gain in numbers, they are going to be more and more and more persistent and, dare I say, violent. Well, this would give you an idea how we should be feeling right now. There was a captain of a man of war back in the old buccaneer days, and his lookout up in the crow's nest yelled down. He says, "Captain, there's a pirate ship on the horizon." So the captain turned to the boatswain's mate, and he said, "Bring me my red shirt." So, okay, he's a captain. So he brought him his red shirt. They clashed with the pirate ship. The fight went on for hours. They won. They destroyed the pirate ship. They captured all the pirates. None of them were harmed and didn't get a scratch. So the boss's mate came and said, "Aye, Captain, well done." He said, "But may I ask ye why ye called for your red shirt?" The captain said, "Well, sir," he said, "I didn't want the troops to be put off if I were to be wounded, and they could see that their captain was wounded. That's why I wanted the red shirt, so no one could see if I was bleeding." And he said, "Jolly good, Captain." Well, 2 or 3 days went by, and the mate up in the crow's nest hollers down. He says, "Captain, Captain," he said, "it's Henry Morgan's pirate fleet." He said, "There's 20 pirate ships on the horizon." And the captain said, "Bosun's mate, bosun's mate, bring me my brown trousers."
I like that.
I like that.
Well, we're all going to be calling for brown trousers if we don't stand up and take some action. It's the increasing threat that the Islamists pose in this country. If we wait until it's too late, guess what? It's too late. That sounds ridiculous.
David, I think that everybody, I think that one of the best passages in the Bible is, "By your fruits you are known." And so if people wonder about Islam, all they have to do is either visit or read up or study Islamic nations that are, and see what they do there. For instance, in all of Saudi Arabia, there's not a single Jew living in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. The Muslims in the United Nations on the democracies have written a human rights charter, and the Islamic nations have written one too. The difference is in the Islamic and the American and the good guys charter, it says you're not allowed to have slaves and you have freedom in religion. Islam does not have that. They're allowed to have slaves, and there is only one religion. So that's your Muslims for you. And people talk about tolerance. There is no tolerance on their part.
No, and if you play your cards right, you could be one of those slaves. Or you could be killed. Or you could be running around with a prayer rug on your shoulder 5 times a day saying, "What the hell direction is east?" That's pretty much your choices if they get their way. So we need to take a very definite stand. And I said at the risk of being redundant, when it's too late, guess what? It's too late. And, of course, if you look up redundant in the dictionary, it says C, redundant. But you know, I made the point. Before it's too late, we need to do something. Now, this situation in over in Syria. I don't know. Those who seem to adore evil baffle me. Why on earth is Russia and China going, that's all right, don't mess with that dude over there in Syria. He's killing a few thousand people, but what the hell, his daddy did. It's a family tradition. And just like old Hank Williams said, it's a family tradition. That's why I drink and do drugs and stuff. Well, it's just his family tradition. He kills people, you know, by the thousands. Why? How can any person who claims to be civilized say, leave him alone, let him kill off, you know, his population? But that's what they did, as you know, in the United Nations. Now, there is a contradiction in terms, if there ever was one. You're not talking about your oxymorons. United Nations? No. United against the United States? Maybe, but not United Nations. But why would Russia and China oppose the United Nations trying to stop this guy from butchering his people?
They sell them a lot of they sell them a lot of armament.
It has to do with money and power.
Yeah.
There's more going on behind the scenes than we'll ever even begin to know. It's money and power, the control of energy, and and world domination. That sounds like a antiquated term. Yeah, it's not. And David, I have a question for you. This is just bugging the crap out of me.
What's with that, sir?
Why is it there's only one round in the chamber of your gun you've got on your picture?
There's only what now?
There's only one round in the chamber of the gun you've got in your picture.
Well, that's... I didn't think
only one.
It would be polite to get the dead bodies in the pictures with me as well. That was at the end of the gunfight.
That's why I was asking. I didn't see any symbols of smoke. You must have been using smokeless powder. So I just had to ask. Being very fond of large caliber handguns, that just happened to strike me.
Oh yeah, that's a .357 Blackhawk, by the way. The camera didn't get Ike and Billy Clanton laying dead over on one side. You know, in the McLowry's, there was four or five of them laying around. I think I got 10 or 12 of them, and that's pretty good for a six shooter.
That's real good. And have one left over,
just in case. But
that was a side note. I didn't mean to sidetrack you on that. It's just been bugging me.
No, that's okay. I'm looking at the, as we all are, at the what the Republicans are doing to themselves. Now, up front, I would vote for a rabid rhinoceros. I would vote for a repo man with a $200 a day habit. I would vote for anything over Barack Hussein Obama. But,
ABO, that's it. Anybody but Obama.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Did you just, speaking of which, when you did the initials, I saw, my brain left my body. I don't know why. It happens when you put a few decades behind you. But, somebody help me here. The young lady who ran for vice president last time.
Sarah Palin.
She was in a news conference somewhere, CPAC, I think. And somebody in the audience said something about the Democrats' statement about the various Republican candidates. And she turned around and laughed and shrugged her shoulders and said, WTF, go girl.
You have a female trying to break in, David.
I do.
Yeah.
The hell, they don't have to break in my house. I'll open the damn door for them. Only kidding, dear.
I heard a female voice. I don't know.
That was Peggy.
We have Peggy here, and she is one of our staunch members and allies here on the Redneck Radio Rag. But, let's see here. It's time I got to do. Let me find my ting here. Here we go. This time for a commercial pause, my friend. We'll be right back in about 1 minute.
Uncle Dave is a published novelist whose book, The Palindrome Conspiracy, has been compared by critics to work by Tom Clancy. I am also an accomplished musical composer and lyricist and a truly outstanding public speaker capable of ranging from hysterically funny dissertations to totally serious and logical addresses. I am available for speaking engagements or as an opening act or master of ceremonies. And right now, I am... Oh yeah, Uncle Dave is searching for an aggressive publisher, not a vanity press, and a good agent to represent me in all genres, including a soon-to-be-completed screenplay. Shoot an email to uncle_dave@ymail.com. That's uncle_dave@ymail.com. uncle_dave@ymail.com. And rest assured, everything I have done in the past and all future projects will be
so fine. So fine.
Well, if you don't blow your own horn, probably nobody else is going to do it for you. And in fact, if I remember my mythology correctly, Achilles was known as the man who blew his own horn. He would blow his little intro music for himself and then make his grand entrance. So if it's good enough for Achilles, it's good enough for me. Anyway, so much for that. So what do you all, how do you all think that the primaries are going? Interesting that that Rick has surged to the forefront in some ways, you think?
Oh, I'm not so sure. Go ahead, Mike.
No. I was just going to say, one of you, please make a comment and then pass the ball to the other one. We'll share this microphone a bit here. Oh,
well, I think it's, I really don't know. Is it one time it's Romney, then it's Newt, and, you know, you just don't know. I am unsure really how it's going.
Well, you know, seems to me that we have some good people out there. We don't have anybody who is making a big splash. We don't have a bright and shining star, a dominant personality in the field. You know, they've all had their moments or two. Gingrich had a couple pretty good moments. And then he had a couple that weren't so good. And the same with pretty much all of them. Anyone would be better than Bullrock. But we don't have a Ronald Reagan out there. I mean, not only as brilliant as Reagan, but let's face it, the dude knew how to give a press conference. He knew how to conduct a debate. He was Ronald Reagan. we don't have someone like that. We had a couple of possibilities. I mean, we kind of looked at Chris Christie saying, well, maybe. He certainly calls, as we are fond of saying, a spade a spade, or something else. But he opted out. And I don't know. How about you, Jim? What do you think? How do you think it's going?
Well, going to tell you just exactly the way I see it and a lot of other people see it. For one thing, I'm extremely concerned because of the demeanor that Obama is using. I have a really hard time getting that name out. His demeanor, he appears unconcerned. He does crap like what he has done to the Catholic Church and all religious with the abortion thing, and just, I mean, it's right on down the line. And the reason this cause is such a great cause for concern is not just because he is a absolutely insane, ideological, pathological narcissist, but for the simple fact that there's already another plan in the works. I do not believe, I am certainly not, do not consider myself naive enough to believe that this is going to be any kind of a regular election. Acorn has been working behind the scenes in spades. In spades. There is so much corruption in the electoral process now that I do not see or foresee any equitable outcome for the conservative movement in the general election. And there are a lot of reasons to believe this. We are dealing with a criminal class straight out of Chicago. This is not being dealt with. This is not being addressed. This is not being spoken of. We have presidential candidates on the Republican side that are not talking about it. We have an entire Republican Party that is moot on the issue, just like they're moot on everything else. This is the most egregious capitulation of freedom and liberty in world history. And we're going to see it in 2012 unless something major happens. And mark my words, this son of a bitch in the White House and all the other Marxists, anarchists, and communists he's put in there alongside of them are in on it. They have a grand plan, and we don't know it. That's why they're just waltzing along doing whatever the hell they think they can get away with. Whether it concerns them, if it's legal or not, it doesn't matter. He's trashed the Constitution from day one. That's my take on it. And if I sound pissed off, yeah, just a little bit.
Well, Jim, I'm right there with you, partner. And I think, okay, I know that the minute you say, I think there might be a conspiracy going on, everybody goes, now there is a genuinely crazy person. Pay no attention to this SOB. So let me not call it a conspiracy. Let me say that maybe there's been some discussion between Ahmadinejad Blowjob over in Iran on his flying carpet and Bulrock the buggering Bolshevik about we need to do something around October so that the American people go, Bulrock's our hero, he saved us. We need to do something. So I think that all this saber-rattling and crap is building to a, as we musicians say, crescendo that will happen sometime in late September, middle of October, to where the dolts and the sheep trotting around mindlessly in the country looking for tidbits from the government will say, oh, thank God for Bulrock. He has saved us. He's our hero. I think that it is planned. I think the Arabs are in with Bulrock, or he's in with them, whichever way you want to put it. They're all the same dog's puppy anyway. And I think something horrendous is going to narrowly be missed. Oh, thank you, Barack, for saving us in October to try to steal the damn election, not to mention registering tombstones, et cetera, and so on. So, yeah, Jim, I'm in complete accord with you. Peggy, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I most certainly agree, and it's kind of funny. I just heard a disturbing quote out of David Rockefeller, and I quote, he says, we are on the verge of a world transformation. All we need is a crisis, and the people will accept a new world order.
Yep.
That was very disturbing.
Yes, it is, and here's one of the crises, or one of the possible crises. And I don't mean to cut into your time real quick, but I just want to point out the Iranian government, the Revolutionary Guards, they have developed a trigger for the nuclear weapons. They've got more than one. This is the information that's just coming out from the IAEA. They were identified as late as last November, but now with the known capability for Iran's ICBM technology, they've already launched a one or two ton satellite earlier this year, or late last year, that's required to guide ICBMs. That is always been an indicator of a country that has gone nuclear and it has nuclear capabilities. Now,
but Jim's talking about launching things. Let me. I have an idea here. Let's do some comparison.
I have an idea. Let's go on an adventure. Yes, boys and girls, put on your travel clothes because Uncle Dave is going to take you on a fantastic voyage. We are now teleporting back in time, and for the next few minutes, we will be hanging out in my old neighborhood, visiting my high school alma mater, and flitting back and forth between 1957 and today. I think you will see some astonishing differences that may explain what's wrong with our world. We're approaching our destination. Let's see how some identical scenarios would play out then and now. Scenario 1. Jack goes duck hunting before school, then pulls into the school parking lot with his shotgun and the truck's gun rack. In 1957, the vice principal comes over, looks at Jack's Stevens bolt-action 20-gauge, goes to his car and gets his own Browning Sweet 16 to show Jack. They discuss their guns and plan to go hunting together the following week. In 2012, the school goes into lockdown. The FBI is called. Jack is hauled off to jail and never sees his truck or his gun again. Counselors are called in for traumatized students and teachers, and Duck is forever banned from the school cafeteria. In scenario 2, Johnny and Mark get into a fight after school. In 1957, a crowd gathers. Mark wins the fight. Johnny and Mark shake hands and eventually wind up as buddies. In 2012, police are called and a SWAT team arrives. They arrest both Johnny and Mark. Both are charged with assault and both are expelled, even though Johnny started it. Johnny begins researching bomb building on the internet and downloads floor plans of the school. Scenario 3. Jeffrey will not be still in class. He disrupts the teacher and other students. In 1957, Jeffrey is sent to the principal's office and given a good paddling. He then returns to class, sits still, and behaves himself. In 2012, Jeffrey is given huge doses of Ritalin and becomes a zombie. He is then tested for ADD, and the family gets extra SSI money from the government because Jeffrey has a disability. In scenario 4, Billy breaks a window in his neighbor's car, and his dad gives him a whipping with a belt. In 1957, Billy learns to be more careful from then on. He grows up normal, goes to college, and becomes a successful businessman. In 2012, Billy's dad is arrested for child abuse. Billy is placed in foster care and joins a street gang. Billy's sister tells the state psychologist that she remembers being abused too, and their dad goes to prison. Billy's mom has an affair with the psychologist, gets knocked up, goes to Planned Parenthood for an abortion, and then goes to work for the organization. Scenario 5. Mike gets a headache and takes some aspirin to school with him. In 1957, Mike shares his aspirin with the principal out on the smoking walk. In 2012, the police are called and Mike is expelled from school for drug violations. His car is then searched for drugs and weapons, and when a bottle of calamine lotion is discovered in his trunk, he is taken to the county jail where a body cavity search is performed, and he is placed in a cell with a registered sex offender named Bubba. In scenario 6, Pedro fails high school English. In 1957, Pedro goes to summer school, passes English, and goes on to college. In 2012, the ACLU files a class action lawsuit against the state school system and Pedro's English teacher. English is then banned from the core curriculum. Pedro is given his diploma anyway, but ends up flipping burgers for a living because he cannot speak it the English. Scenario 7. Johnny takes apart leftover firecrackers from the 4th of July, puts them in a model airplane paint bottle, and blows up a red anthill. In 1957, ants die. In 2012, ATF, Homeland Security, and the FBI are all called, and Johnny is charged with domestic terrorism. The FBI investigates his parents. All siblings are removed from the home, and all computers are confiscated. Johnny's father is placed on a terrorist watch list and is never allowed to board an aircraft or purchase a disposable lighter again. In Scenario 8, Johnny falls while running during recess and scrapes his knee. He is found crying by his teacher, Mary, who hugs and comforts him. In 1957, Johnny soon feels better and goes on playing. In 2012, Mary is accused of being a sexual predator, loses her job, and faces 3 years in state prison. Johnny undergoes 5 years of therapy. He later turns gay and moves in with his therapist. Both are now registered Democrats and campaigning vigorously for Barack Obama. Scenario 9. Julie takes a Bible to help class with her to help in explaining why abstinence from fornication is the best form of birth control. In 1957, Julie's teacher and classmates listen attentively to her presentation. Julie's teacher later calls her mother and congratulates her on bringing up such a fine, upstanding daughter. In 2012, Julie is suspended for 3 days for violating the separation of church and state and ordered never to bring a Bible to school again. Mrs. Lipschitz, the health class teacher, demonstrates how to put a condom on a dildo using her mouth, and Dick Dangler, the co-captain of the football team, drops by her house that evening for a second demonstration. Why do you suppose there's such a huge difference between then and now? Do you think that maybe our nation's leaders have had something to do with it? Let's check out a couple of them and see.
Without God, there is no virtue because there's no prompting of the conscience. Without God, we're mired in the material, that flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals. We can create a modern international community.
What did that Mephistophelian dolt just say?
We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation.
It's starting to make sense, isn't it?
John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
Your what?
My Muslim faith.
One more time. What was that you said?
My Muslim faith.
There, boys and girls, is the reason for our woes. America is more than our great abundant land, more than our wonderful Constitution that congressmen, senators, and the president strive to trample underfoot, and the courts struggle to set aside so they can make up their own rules as they go along. Yes, my children, America is its magnificent, good-hearted people. America is great because it is good, and if it ever stops being good, it will soon cease to be great. We are now under attack from a monster who has placed his minions at all the upper levels of our government, including the Congress, the Supreme Court, and the White House itself. One of the ways it seeks to destroy us is by destroying our moral values. But we must and we shall stand strong and firm. We will fight against the monster and destroy it. Remember always that we are Americans. We will stand by America, and America will not let us down. God bless America.
Well, if you're not old enough to remember 1957, I am.
David, good thing I was living not in 2012 when Johnny was scrapping, because I was doing that back in 1957. We had a bunch of us that were always scrapping with each other.
Oh, hell yes. When I was in school, the teachers used to watch us fight. Hell, they bet on it. And we didn't take it off the schoolyard. As soon as if we had a problem with somebody, when the bell rang, when we got outside, you know, that it was go time. Now, I remember one time, some dude and I we were in the gym and waiting for the bell to ring. It was about bell time, sitting on the floor, and we got into a little punching match, sitting down next to each other, and then kind of discussed what we, you know, I challenged each other basically for after school. And when the bell rang, I picked up my books, and back then you carried a lot of books, and I was halfway up. This dude tagged me twice in the eye, swelled my left eye shut, and the gym teacher thought it was funny. I said, "Hey, funny, the dude sucker punched me. You should have waited until we got outside." But, I mean, that's just the way it was. If you had a problem, you stood up for yourself. And in this case, I should have been watching a little more carefully, because this guy, I'm sure, grew up to be a Democrat. But anyway, you get the idea, folks. Back then, everybody had guts. They took care of themselves.
Yeah.
It wasn't a kiss-ass society. And we all stood and said the Pledge of the Morning, by the way. Yeah, we all went to church on Sunday.
I wonder how the hell you got my juvenile records.
Mine too.
But I put a whole day into making that. I know it only ran a few minutes, but I wanted to try to get the idea across to everybody, and I hope it did. I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. We have another caller here I just saw just popped in. I have no idea who this is. Hello there, 407. Who be you?
Me be an old friend, Norman. I think you know me.
Norman!
Yes. I wanted to get in a few words before the show ends and appeal to
you. You just missed Mike. He was here for a while and left. But yeah, this is Dr. Norman Berdyshevsky, who is a brilliant man and the author of The Left is Seldom Right and an Absolute Authority on the Islamic Threat. Okay. And now, so I don't cut into your time, what would you like to say, Norman?
Well, I'd just like to appeal to all your listeners and all those who are terrified by the prospect of a second term for Barack Obama to make every effort to get Republican politicians and independents who are just as worried as we are to get behind the ticket that will have Romney as the candidate for president and Santorum as the candidate for vice president and unite the party, because the other two candidates will not go anywhere. Ron Paul's appeal to libertarian ideals attracts the far left as much as the far right, and that, in fact, is a part of my book, that you can't tell the difference when they get as far as they do at the extremes. And Gingrich, I'm afraid to say, because of his personal baggage, is not going to attract the independents who are needed. And, in fact, much of those characteristics remind me of Obama. he says and appeals in each state to the audience who wants to hear him say exactly the things that he knows are the most appealing. And he uses that technique just as much as Obama. And as soon as we get those two out of the picture and unite the party, the real chance we will have of mobilizing all American opinion behind the United Republican ticket.
Well, Norman, I have a very healthy respect for your intellect, your knowledge, and the depth at which you research things. I've read some things you've written, and yeah, you do your homework. I don't know about a Romney-Santorum, or Santorum-Romney, either way, ticket.
Right, either one is fine with me. The sooner, though, the better.
How about Rubio in the second slot with either one of them? What do you think?
Well, at this stage, I mean, we can think of all kinds of ideal hypothetical tickets. I mean, this is a favorite occupation, but Rubio has expressed himself very clearly, and so has Chris Christie, and another four or five you could name who would also be ideal. But
Alan West.
Yes, but, you know, that's like playing games. The public wants this resolved, I do, and all those who feel each day is being wasted and allowing Obama to mount a successful reelection effort, unless we get our house in order and get going and turn all of the heat against him and not against ourselves.
I could not agree more. We need to focus on the number one threat and the number one the evil incarnate that is
exactly
wanting to destroy our country. You know, Norman, I think the time was decades ago. I'm older than you. But I think the time was decades ago when you had two patriotic Americans with different views running against each other. Now, I think we have evil personified in the Democratic Party with Barack Obama.
Yeah, but also you can see within the Republicans ambition personified. They all want the top prize, and they're letting it slip through their fingers because of personal ambition, and it's going to cost all of us.
Isn't this the problem that the forefathers, our founding fathers, talked about? Was the politics of avarice, where we have an entire government now that is populated by people who regard this as a career?
Yeah. That's part of the problem, yeah. But in the immediate situation, I think there has to be a groundswell of pressure from the bottom, acting on the Republican parties to get the House in order. And another 4 or 5 months of these primaries and, you know, up and down kinds of situations won't do anything except give Obama more of an advantage.
I agree, and I would just say real quickly that I do not see anything good coming out of it. I don't care who's on the Republican ticket. The main thing is this man needs to be removed before the elections. He needs to be removed.
Well, my fellow American patriots, the hot licks on that piano means it's time for us to boogie. We'd like to thank our callers for joining in and being part of the show here on the Right Wing Redneck Radio Rag, and we encourage y'all to do it again next week. Oh, and tell your friends and neighbors about our show, too. In fact, if you know any anti-American, anti-constitutional, left-wing, liberal, socialist, communist, anti-Judeo-Christian, misguided, lame-brained morons, tell them to listen in, too. Accurate information and the facts get the left-wing hooligans and their fifth columnist pals in the media steaming like fresh cow patties in a snowbank, because their lies can't hold up under the light of truth. So, if you know any dumbass lefties, bring them on board. Hell, we just might convert a few of them and turn them into good, loyal Americans. So until next week, this is Uncle Dave saying, keep your eyes and ears open, your powder dry, and don't forget, we are in the middle of a pro-American jihad!
All righty, I think cap on this one. Well, once again, I thank you, Jim and Peggy, very much for popping in. Norman just hung up, or I would thank him too. I'll try to get him to come in earlier next time. He has a massive intellect. He's a very smart man. He is a professor at Central Florida University. He has a doctor's degree and several published books. So he's not just a drop shot. He's got some credentials coming with him, as do both of you. And and of course, my number one claim to fame is that of the court jester, which is something I've made a living in doing. But anyway, I think we've done it all for today, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart or the heart of my bottom, whichever. And hopefully, you'll be back next Sunday.
Yeah.
It
was great, David. Good night. God bless.
I love y'all.
Good night. Thanks.
Okay. I'll see you Monday.
All righty.
Bye.
All right. Bye.